I'm Farai Chidea here with Lynn Scher. We are both sitting in for John Hockenberry. President Obama is pushing hard for a deadline he probably won't make, selling his health care bill to the nation. He makes a televised primetime speech tonight, but his hopes of having Congress put a bill on the floor by summer recess dwindle with every day. After all, congressional recess is only a few short weeks away. There's little consensus on how to make health care reform happen. Senator Tom Coburn thinks the president's expectations could be unrealistic.
I want us to succeed in health care reform. But I wanted it, you know, health care is absolutely personal and it affects every person in this country. And for us to have the audacity to think in 2.5 months we can fix all those problems is just plain stupid.
All right. Our own Todd Zwillick is with us from Washington to give the latest on this news conference and, you know, everything else on health care. Let's talk first about the action on the Hill yesterday and coming up. Where are we in this process in the House of Representatives?
All right. Well, meetings. Good morning, Farai. The Energy and Commerce Committee is the only committee that hasn't marked up their legislation, and it's a major pivot point in this right now. There was a markup scheduled to start yesterday, where markup is where all the members of the committee come together and give amendments to the bill and chop it all up. That was postponed yesterday and moved to today for more discussions, more meetings with those conservative Blue Dog Democrats. Well, postponed again today. They're not going to be marking up today because discussions continue. However, there is it's not to say there's no progress to speak of. Those Blue Dogs have been meeting with the president, with leadership, and there's a little bit of consensus growing around this idea of having an independent government agency that goes around and sort of polices Medicare and the healthcare program and passes basically passes policies to control costs. This would be made up of outside experts who would be able to set prices for Medicare in a way that drops the cost. Now, right now, I should add very quickly, Medicare prices are set by Congress. And a lot of people think that this is a system that is just rife with special interest, with parochial interest. All it does is drive up healthcare costs. There's liberal Democrats on the Senate side like Jay Rockefeller. There's conservative Democrats on the House side like these Blue Dogs we talked about. And they all seem to want to do this. And there's some consensus coalescing around this. Listen to Jay Rockefeller talking about his amendment to have basically a policeman agency for Medicare to drive down cost.
Congresspeople should not be using Medicare reimbursement for their benefit. And you're right, that's exactly what they do. And that's exactly what the lobbyists want to see. And that's exactly why I want both of them eliminated from the entire process.
So Farai, that was the glimmer of progress yesterday. Liberal Democrats like Rockefeller, conservative Democrats all agreeing that they want to see this in the bill.
All right. Just quickly, you'll be there tonight. If you get a chance to ask a question of the president, what will it be?
Well, I have a lot of questions, some about Afghanistan, but as long as we're talking about health care, you know, the president has said he has some principles on this. He wants it to control costs. It has to be deficit neutral. It has to expand coverage. But I want to know what the president's metric for success is in terms of covering the uninsured. If Congress passes something that only covers 50% of the uninsured, will that be success or does he want 90%? I think the president should tell people what exactly success is here. Are we going to spend a lot of money and only get 9 million or 10 million more people insured?
Mm-hmm. Well, Todd, stay with us. Todd Zwillick, the Takeaway's own Todd Zwillick, always on the Hill, always on patrol. We've also got some friends in the studio this morning coming back in with us. They talked to us a little bit more earlier about what they would ask the president if given the chance tonight. Non-healthcare questions. Now we move on to healthcare. We have Kristen Rouse, first lieutenant in the Army National Guard, veteran of the war in Afghanistan. Akeen McKenzie, visual display artist. They're both here in the studio with me. And Dr. Peter Ubel, physician and behavioral scientist in Ann Arbor, Michigan. So the question is, healthcare. What would you ask, Akeen?
Preventative health care. I know that's one of his big pushes, and that's the only way we can afford it, is if we start fixing these issues before they become big issues. How do you do that? Are we going to have a concentration on nutrition, on exercise? Are we going to have, you know, regular visits to these doctors? Are we going to be able to have screenings? Lord knows, I could probably use a little more. I fortunately grew up with a mother who had a great education on nutrition and instilled that in me. Although I don't necessarily abide by that now. I wish I did more, but we need more of that. And can we do that? I guess this is the big thrust of my question. is can we do that in a system that does not reward health in the patients? There's no financial reward for healthy patients. Wouldn't it not make sense to, or would it make sense to have a system where doctors financially, or the system financially benefits from healthy patients rather than by sick ones?
All right, Dr. Ubel, just coming off of what Akeen said, it's really about preventative medicine rewarding consumers, essentially, human beings, for being healthy. I'm not sure, before we get to your specific question, do you have any thoughts on that?
I think I am a primary care physician. I very much believe in prevention, but it doesn't save money, usually. And so we have to decide, you know, while we give emphasis to prevention, what does that mean for how we control healthcare costs?
Okay, what would you ask the president?
I'd like a concrete example of how he would go about controlling healthcare costs, and a concrete enough that Americans could feel comfortable with how his plan would work and what it would mean for their relationship with their doctor.
You know, I want to go back to Todd. I want to ask you, Todd Zwillick, Takeaway's own Todd Zwillick, that question of preventative care. I've heard some politicians in this debate saying, well, you know, that actually does cost money. How does that play out?
Well, nobody really knows what to do with prevention on the Hill. It's very interesting. We've heard about the CBO lots of times, the Congressional Budget Office, and it's a bit wonky, but they're really important in the debate right now because they're the arbiters of whether something can officially be deemed a money saver or a money spender. And they don't know how to deal with prevention. There is a debate in the academic community and in the economics community about which prevention saves money and how, and CBO doesn't know what to do with all this stuff. So when they tell the congressman, you know, we might think intuitively that controlling obesity is going to mean less spending in the long term. People are thinner. They don't get as much diabetes, as much heart disease. It really makes sense to the average mind that that would save money. Well, CBO can't show that, and CBO can't give you credit on your bill, your legislative bill, to say, yes, you will save X billion number of dollars. So that's really frustrating for members of Congress who want to do the right thing in terms of health care and can't get any credit on right. The dollar end. So they wind up saying, well, it's just the right thing to do. It may be an investment. They don't know how to handle that.
Right. Well, let's turn to Kristen Rouse. You are in the Army National Guard. You've served overseas in some very tough conditions. What would you ask the president?
Well, healthcare is such an important issue to all Americans. I know that. But of personal concern to me is, what is the administration doing right now to ensure that returning veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan are receiving the physical and mental health resources that they need? Because the need is now. There's a lot of VA facilities and a lot of Department of Defense facilities give. They do provide excellent health care, and I've been fortunate to receive excellent health care from when I was on active duty at Fort Drum. But the reality is that what's in place right now is not enough.
There was something called informally the Dole Shalala report that was supposed to reform VA health care. Do you think anything's changed in the past year?
I believe that changes have been made, and of course there's been a lot more public attention, and that's good. But there remains a huge VA backlog of claims, and a lot of returning veterans are having to either use their private health insurance or pay out of pocket for service-connected problems, whether that be mental health issues or physical issues.
All right. I want to do kind of a speed round here because we don't have very much time, but I'm going to ask all three of you. Would you be willing to pay more taxes to accomplish the missions that you just set out? Kristen.
I am a proud taxpayer because I benefit from taxes. American taxpayers pay my salary when I am on military duty. And so and I'm honored to be paid for by taxpayers. And so, yes, if better quality of life, better services come at a higher price. And if it's efficient, then I'm willing to pay for that.
Akeen?
If the benefits are tangible, absolutely.
All right. Dr. Ubel.
I would, because I think if you can control health care costs, I'll pay more in taxes but less in health insurance premiums, and I'll come out ahead.
All right, Todd, I'm not going to ask you to, sum up the higher taxes for yourself, but very briefly, do you think that in general the American people are willing to pay more?
the American people have said that they're willing to pay more in some polls. The polls are a little bit confusing on this. They say they're willing to pay more, but it depends on the policy. People's costs are already very, very high. The president needs to convince people that paying a little bit more in taxes will cut their spending, just like the doctor said.
All right. Well, thanks to Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, Dr. Peter Ubel, physician at the University of Michigan, Kristen Rouse, Army National Guard, and Akeen McKenzie, visual display artist. You have brought a lot of clarity to a very, very tough issue. Thanks.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.